If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 16. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking a word to God's children. And one of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about, he says, hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, okay? I heard the Lord say, the direction you're heading in is not okay, and that we can't afford to go in that direction. And God says, if you return, all will be restored. You're looking and you're seeking things from the Father, and the Father says, return to me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. He says, I have not changed my mind concerning you. What I'm asking you, church, to do is change your mind concerning me. Amen. And God gives us examples of what took place in Jeremiah chapter 16, beginning to read in verse number 10. The word of God says, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt shew this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. He says, therefore will I cast you out of this land, and to a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not shew you favor. What the Lord was reminding me is the generation of Moses' generation, because of the rebellion against God, never got to cross the Jordan into the promised land. Then those that have followed Joshua had turned from God, and they were getting ready to go into captivity into Babylon. And God says that he wants his children to be delivered and set free. And the title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is A Call to Return to the Lord. A call to return. And the three things I want to share that is in this text. There was the deterioration, there was the distraction, and there was the defiance. Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of the word. If it feels warm, or if it says ouch, just say ouch. It's okay. Amen. Yeah, maybe there'd be ouch in love. Amen. Because love will cover a multitude of sins, and God loves each and every one of us and has a plan and purpose in every life. So can we lift the word together and let's make a declaration here today. Hallelujah. Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your word, and I'm grateful that you're going to speak through me today, Father God. And I just pray right now, may Carl get out of the way. Nobody's gathered here today to hear from me. They've gathered here today to hear from you. So, Spirit of the Sovereign God, speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer. Father, we'll never cease to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. When I was looking at deterioration, what I was thinking about is it's the process of getting worse. If something deteriorates, it gets worse. And God says in his word, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, I want to say something here about iniquity. There's one thing about sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned, I've sinned, we all sin. But iniquity is when we know to do right, but we go ahead and do wrong. Hello? Amen? If I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength, he gives me the strength to do what's right and not what's wrong. Amen? So first thing he is speaking about, the deterioration, that he was saying that the children were worse than their forefathers. And in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 26, the prophet says, "And yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." In other words, the word of God has been so watered down, it doesn't have an effect any longer. One of the things that the Lord is saying to us, and it has been saying to me, is he's calling for the church to return unto him so we can reach the world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm not calling anybody unrighteous, and I'm not declaring, if it fits for you, put it on. If it doesn't, don't. Amen. I had somebody ask me a question of, you know, the Lord gave a word, and they responded, and they said, "Well, I don't understand. I didn't receive that word." And then the response was, "Not every word is for everyone." You know, God has returned for his first love, and what he is speaking about, his first love has left him. Amen. And have departed. This COVID thing that took place separated the nation. It separated the church. It separated the body of Christ, and it isn't finished yet. And now they're going to vaccinations, and there's more separation coming, and what the devil is doing. But God says to you and I, God has called us, and he's appointed us, and he's anointed you and I for a time such as now, and he's wanting us to get back to our first love, to believe God at his word, to speak his word, and let God do the work. It isn't about us. He doesn't call me to do it. He calls me to share his word, and the Holy Spirit does the work. Yeah, amen. I tried changing people. God asked me one day, he said, "How's that working for you?" He said, "Son, you couldn't even change yourself. How are you going to change someone else?" Amen. In other words, God didn't call us. When he says we're world changers because we're being transformed by the power of God in front of people to preach the good gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is alive. God is well. Amen. Amen. But what he is saying, just like the prophet Jeremiah was prophesying to the children of Israel, Remember what Jesus said, that what the Apostle Paul said, the natural branch, the Jew, was broken off so the unnatural branch, the Gentile, could be grafted in, okay? So when God's speaking to Israel, he's speaking to you and I. Amen? How many are a child of God here? If you're a child of God, his word is speaking to you. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. So let's go up to the New Testament then, and 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19, talking about the deception that's in the world. And we can surely see this in the world we live in today. While they promise them liberty, verse 19, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled again therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You know, what the Apostle Paul and Peter is saying, just the same thing that Jeremiah was writing to Israel, amen, that because of the iniquity, because they knew to do right, and they chose in their stubbornness to go ahead and do wrong. Ouch. So the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me explain something to everyone so everyone understands. When you're living for Christ and you're living a life that's holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your good and reasonable service, that the world doesn't understand. And they may call you things. Amen? I don't mind if anybody calls me a holy roller. You can call me a holy roller all day. It doesn't matter. I've been called a lot worse than a holy roller. Hallelujah. Amen. So why should I take offense if somebody's calling me a holy roller? If somebody's calling me a holy roller, I ought to be saying, hey, praise God that I'm rolling around for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Wait a minute. Let's go back to that again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He didn't say some of you. He didn't say a few of you. He says all of you will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The seducers today is telling everyone what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Amen? But he warns his student. In verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. So first thing he is saying is, hey, there's a deterioration. There's it's getting worse and worse. The second thing he talks about is the distraction. How many know there's a lot of distractions? How many know that one of the biggest distractions we have is what we carry with us all the time? How many carry their phone with them all the time? How many know that you're constantly distracted? How many know there's always something bleeping up or coming up or whatever? Amen? And he saw it's because of evil imaginations. They're distracted by those things. Amen? And there's distractions that come. Man, I know that I go on Facebook. I don't do much on Facebook, but I post scriptures on the Greatest Freedom Ministries every day. I put a post to everyone every day to encourage them, and I make a statement on Facebook every day, and that's my part of Facebook, okay? But there's a lot of negative and bad things that are on there. I have things, people that are trying to friend me every day that are evil, amen, that carry evil things. There's things on there, if you pick them up, there'll be things that you'll bring into your household that you don't want to bring into your household. Amen. I want to share with you, I had a young man call me. I shared this morning, but I'm going to say, bring it up here because somebody might be dealing with it. I had a young man call me on Friday and told me, asked me if I would come to his house. He had all kinds of demons and demonic activity taking place in his house. He says, I've got it filmed and got pictures of it. I went there. This guy had videos of stuff, and you were some of the weirdest stuff. Wild cats and animals showing up in the house. Pictures of people, dead people, pictures of people that were dead walking through the house, and you could see them and you could recognize that they were the people. There was in the spirit. And I said, when on the way there, I asked somebody to pray with me. In the way there, I prayed in the spirit all the way there. And then I went into their house. I asked him to go outside. I said, you can't be in here. I have to fight this devil and this demons and God's power. So I went in there and I took authority over that household and I cast them out of that household. Things started shaking, things started moving, and they left the house. And then I went to can you go to my uncle's house next door? So I went to the uncle's house also and got him outside. And I went in the house and he had the same demonic stuff that was in there. And I went in there and took authority and power over that house in the name of Jesus and cast out them devils. Then I got the three of them outside. And I said, one thing I want to tell you, you can't go back in there without Jesus. You want them demons to be stay out of there, and you got to have Jesus. So I shared the gospel with the three of them. They all three gave their heart to Jesus, and now they have the power to keep the devil out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says we're going to face some wickedness. We're going to face some darkness, but he's given us all power, every name named in heaven and earth. Must bow to the name of Jesus. We have Jesus' name to take authority and power. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Ephesians chapter 2. Friendly reminder to the church when we're looking at being distracted. How many know there's a lot of distractions? Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul reminds the church at Ephesus in verse number 1. And you have he quickened. That word quickened comes from the Greek word zoupoio, is made alive. You have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. In other words, the reason I brought this up in the distraction that we're looking at in our text today, Jeremiah said, and every man's walking after the imagination of the evil heart. Amen. And what he was saying to them in the church of Israel is they were being distracted. Jesus said, old things, God's word says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're not walking like we used to walk. Amen. We used to walk like an Egyptian. Now we walk like an Israelite that's obeying the word. Amen. You know, he was saying that even the prophet Jeremiah was reminding the Israel that they won't remember the deliverance out of Egypt. because they were going to go into Babylon because they didn't learn from their fathers. Amen? Amen? In other words, somewhere along the line, we have to learn. Somewhere along the line, we have to put God's word to practice in our hearts and lives. You know, the Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know what? I believe in my heart, I know who I'm battling with. I know greater is he. But the majority of my babes in Christ aren't here today. And I know that adversary kept them out. Because I know who I wrestle with. Amen? Amen? Because God wants to do something in our hearts and lives. I believe he's at the door. I believe his return is near. I believe everything according to the prophetic word of God has been fulfilled. And we ought to be awake and be alive and well and wake. You know, it's not a time for us to slumber and sleep. You know, I love what the prophet Isaiah said, "Rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come. The light of the Lord has come. And his glory shall be seen upon you and I." Amen. Amen. So it's time for the church to arise. But in Jude, verse number 17, Jude says this. He said, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, on others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." He said this, "Thus says the Lord, the direction that you're heading, you cannot afford. I've called you to come and be in one accord. And as you come, everything will be restored." Amen. If you're looking for restoration and from the kingdom of God and from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he wants to do something in our hearts and lives, but he says he calls for us to surrender. Amen. That thing that you're trying to hold on to, he just wants you to let go. How's it working for you? How's it benefiting you? Are you have joy and peace and happiness in your home? Do you have joy, happiness, and peace in the workplace? Are you finding the fullness of the Lord? If you're not, that thing that he keeps speaking to you about, release it to him. Stop trying to carry that same old thing, because nothing's going to change in your life until you release what God asked you to give to him. Amen. And once you let it go, look out. Then it's let it go and let God. Let it go and let God. That thing the enemy is trying to destroy your life with, he's trying to kill you with, God has come to give you life in the fullness thereof. He says, "Trust me with your heart. Trust me. You can do it through me. I will help you. I will be with you. I will carry you through. Nothing is too great for me," says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he's saying that there was the deterioration, that they had got worse and worse because of the distraction, the imagination of the evil heart. Then he said, because they wouldn't obey, because of their, let me go back there. I don't want to misquote my scripture. And they and that they may not hearken unto me. In other words, there was defiance.
Yes.
What defiance is knowingly being disobedient. Parents with your young children, what do you do with your children when they're defiant? If you're not correcting them, shame on you. Hello? Hello? The Word of God says, train them as a child and won't depart from them. I don't know about you, but I expect respect from my children. I expect honor from my children. Amen? I raise them to respect and honor their elders. Amen? And their elders is not just me and not just you. And my wife and I, but the elders are their parents. The elders are their teachers. The elders are anyone that's leading them and guiding them, that they're to show them respect and show them honor. Amen. And the children of Israel, they were just totally defiant. They were in disobedience. How many know that God has a plan for disobedience? Prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32, are you with me? Could get warm in the kitchen. How many know when there's something good cooking, it gets warm in the kitchen? But after the heat, there's something delicious that comes. Amen? In Jeremiah 32, verse number 33. The prophet said, and they have turned unto me the back, and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Amen. In other words, God hasn't changed his mind concerning his word. Amen. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. I feel like a repeater here, but I'm going to repeat it. What happens so much in the body of Christ is the body of Christ doesn't want correction. When you correct them, they take offense and leave. And God says if you want to be covered by the covering, you have to be open to correction. Amen? Because correction comes in love. There's no judgment. God says, judge not, lest you be judged. So when God says a word or speaks a word and it aligns with his word, he ain't going to change his word. And if you aren't aligned according to his word, he might speak to you about it. Amen? That's why he says, study to show yourselves approved. Workmen that need, if not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? And God wants us to, just like, and you don't think God, that God is a judging God? Well, let me tell you what, that whole generation died in the wilderness and didn't enter into the promise. The next generation were caught up in Babylon. Amen? And God wants to speak to this generation. God has a plan for this generation. This plan for this generation is to usher in his return. And he's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming for a church that is full of Christ Jesus. And Christ is alive and well in them and in the lives of others. It's letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah 7. Hallelujah. In case you don't understand, I'm preparing everybody to take communion. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for Jesus? How many are thankful for the Holy Ghost? How many are thankful that the joy of the Lord is our strength? How many know the fruit of the Spirit? Nobody can steal the fruit that's in you. It's from the Spirit of God. Amen. And if God tries us and tests us and tries to convict us of something, the Holy Ghost convicts us to release something, okay? God wants to do something in our hearts and lives. There's something that God has called you to that you've never been able to accomplish yet, because God's been going back to that same place time and time and time again. He keeps going back to that same place. You know, Lord, I'll do this and I'll do this, but this one, I don't want to do this. Well, guess what the Lord says? When you do this, I'll do this. Amen? So the prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah 7:11 about the people that were defiant, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Now, remember, we prayed to begin with, Lord, open my ears to hear and my heart to receive. Do you think I just do that for the sake of just doing it? No. I believe that God answers prayer. Amen? And he says to us in verse number 12, yea, they have made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts have sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Amen. There's wrath coming to this earth. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I'm a child of God, and the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ is going to rise, and those that are alive are going to meet the Lord in the air, ever to be with the Lord. And then there's going to come total hell on this earth. There's a tribulation that's coming that nobody's ever witnessed in this world. And I believe that, and at mid-tribulation, the Jews will go through 3.5 years. Amen. But after that 7 years, we'll come back and return to this earth and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to reign with Christ. Amen. And guess what? Guess what? He's given us practice now, because we're reigning with him now, even in a dark world. Amen. He's recognized. He says to you, what did he say to you and I? You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness and to his marvelous light, who at one time were not a people, but now are a people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Mercy says no. He doesn't want to let any of us go. He doesn't want to let any of us slip away. Life and death are standing face to face, and nothing will take his grace away. His mercy says no. Amen. 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 You know, we're agreeing with the word. I don't need you to agree with me. I need you to agree with him. Yeah. Hey, when I'm looking for an amen, I'm not looking for you to agree with me. I'm looking for you to say the word was spoken, so be it, I believe it. So be it, I'll let it take place in my heart and let it take place in my life. In Acts chapter 7, I'll close with this. I think the temperature went up here a couple degrees. We don't want to be like the ones that the apostle's speaking to here in verse number 51. Just as the prophet Jeremiah was speaking to the children of Israel, the word was still being spoken. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your and heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Amen. So what the Lord was saying to us in closing today, he's calling for the decision. In our text in Acts 16, verse number 21, he says, therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. You see, this calls for a decision. I love it the way the prophet Joel penned it in Joel chapter 3, verse number 14. He said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The Lord is near in the valley of decision. He says, church, let's not be like Israel was. Let us not deteriorate or get worse. Let us not be distracted by all the things that are in this world that is distracting us. Let us not be defiant or rebellious against the Lord, but let us make a decision. Amen. Whatever the Lord wants to deliver us or set us free from or wants us to release to Him, that we release it to Him today. Can we all just stand? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for your word. And I'm grateful that you sent your word to accomplish something in every heart and every life. First and foremost, your word declares that no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son except the Father draw. If you're here today, you do not know Jesus, or one time you knew Jesus, but you're not in the place you need to be. And you know you need to be right with the Lord. Would you slip up your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Would you just raise your hand? I see that hand. Is there another one here? Anyone at all? Father, I thank you, Father God, that you're the searcher of all hearts and all lives. Father, I thank you, Father God, that in our own power, we can't do much. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And today in your word, you said that you were speaking to weakness that each and every one of us have. And somewhere in our lives, no one has arrived. And as we come towards the front to partake of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus, may we be ready to release that and ask you to forgive us today to let that go. Would you come with me and join me around the altar today to take communion?